Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know, are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And then our text this evening, verses 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So far, God's word. Please have his word open before you if you're able to do so as we work through this passage together. But first of all, please pray with me. We've just sung, Heavenly Father, come Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd send your Spirit now to us as we listen to your word. Encourage us this afternoon with your word. Lord, your message to us this afternoon as we consider the sixth request is a message of encouragement. Lift up our souls to heaven this afternoon, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in a box above our garage is an old project of mine. It's an F-14 Tomcat. Does anyone know what an F-14 Tomcat is? Just one aviator at the back there. Good brother. This is a jet, a model of a jet, fighter jet. There's just one problem with it. It's not finished. I worked on this when I was a teenager, and it's still sitting there waiting to be finished one day. But one thing is, with it, I can't throw it out. And Hanukkah, if we're cutting down on things, that's one thing that I just can't throw out. But what about you? What projects do you have in your life, in your home, that are left unfinished? Or maybe I should be asking your wise men or your husbands, wives, what's on your to-do list that needs to be finished? No elbows there at the moment. Please save those for later. Well, did you know that God has a to-do list? God has a to-do list. He has a big, long to-do list. What is on it? Or should I say, who is on it? We are. We are on God's to-do list. And that's a good thing. It's an encouraging thing. This afternoon, we're going to be talking about God's work in us, the things that he does in us. In our catechism, we confess this afternoon, speaking about the sixth request. And so, Lord, speaking about our enemies, speaking about our battle with sin, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in the spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. We're going to be speaking about this afternoon, how God works in us, how he upholds us, how he makes us strong, and that gives us our theme this afternoon. Our theme this afternoon is that God will finish our sanctification. God will finish our sanctification. 2 points this afternoon, and our first point this afternoon is Paul's prayer for God's work. Paul's prayer for God's work. We find our text, verses 24 and 25, 23 I should say, 23 and 24, we find that at the end of Paul's letter, in a section that's called Final Instructions and Benediction. Now, it's easy to think that it's not such a significant part of the book. Paul is just simply summing up. He's just doing some housekeeping. But no, this passage here is critical to some of the things that Paul has been saying. If you have your Bibles, turn with me back to the beginning of chapter 4. Paul has been speaking to the Thessalonians about the things that they should be doing. He asks them, he urges them in the name of the Lord Jesus to walk and live a life pleasing to the Lord. This is the will of God, your sanctification, he says in verse 3, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that you learn to control your own body. Reminds them that God has called you to impurity, not to impurity, but to holiness. To remember brotherly and sisterly love. He comforts them about the coming of the Lord. The Thessalonians were worried that some would be left behind, that those who died before Jesus returned wouldn't take part in the final day, that they would be left behind, no pun intended. He speaks about the coming of the Lord, and he speaks about the day of the Lord, how it will come unexpectedly. And in light of that, he says, encourage each other with that promise that Jesus is coming. And then in verse 12, he goes through a list of things that he wants them to do. Respect those who are in authority over you. Esteem them highly in love. Be at peace amongst yourselves. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. Don't repay anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances. Don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Abstain from every kind of evil. It's quite a list. And if you read all of these and just stop the letter there, if you look at all these tasks, you say, that's just too hard. I can't do all these things. Or maybe you fall on the other side of the equation. Well, if I do all these things in some fashion, then I'll be okay. Then I'll be right with God. Paul wants to make it clear, however, to the Thessalonians, yes, you are to work. You are to work. But you are not to do so alone. In fact, you cannot do so alone. And that's what makes verses 23 and 24 so special. So special as Paul seeks to encourage the Thessalonians in this work that he's called them to, that God calls them to. So we're going to spend our time unpacking verses 23 and 24 this afternoon. Paul begins, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. It almost sounds like a wish. I wish God would do this, but that's not the way that Paul is speaking. He wants to reassure his readers that this is something that will happen, that is happening in them already. Because it's God who is at work. The God of peace, he says. Now, what sort of peace is Paul talking about here? This morning, with daylight saving, a number of parents got some extra peace for about an hour, or some did. No? You didn't? Or have I got the time round again, haven't I? Yeah. It was earlier, yeah. Okay. Parents would have liked peace this morning. In fact, last night we did, yes. We didn't tell our girls that it was daylight savings, so they actually went to bed an hour early so we could go to bed early. It was quite good. But parents sometimes want that peace. That's not the peace that's being spoken about here. Now, the peace that Paul is speaking about, the God of peace, is peace with God. Peace with God. And that only comes when we are right with God. It comes because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the fact that he paid the debt for us, that he restored us to a right relationship with God. And that wasn't the end of the story. God didn't come and make us right with him and say, well, now you're sorted, you've been put on the right path, you are right with God, go and live your best life. Do the best you can. No, he doesn't say that. Now, God continues to help us to grow, continues to help us to become more perfect. And in fact, if you read Paul here, even after he just said about all the things that the Thessalonians should be doing to work, it seems here as if God is doing it all. It's God who's doing all the work. Paul prays here for our sanctification. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Sanctification. Can someone tell me, give me a definition of sanctification? Zara?
Process of making us new
through God. Process of making us new through God, yes. Yes, anything else to add? Who helps that? Who works in that process? Holy Spirit, yes. It's the Holy Spirit's gracious and continual operation by which the Holy Spirit purifies the sinner from the pollution of sin, renews his whole nature in the image of God, and enables him to do good works. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned specifically in verses 23 and 24, but the Holy Spirit is there in the background, working away, sanctifying us, working in us, molding us, shaping us. Now, when we think of sanctification, the theologians talk about two types of sanctification. Can anyone tell me what those two types are? The ladies have just been studying it in Hebrews. I'll put you on the spot. Two types of sanctification. You didn't get that far the other night?
Being and being.
Yes. Being sanctified and being sanctified. Declarative sanctification, being sanctified, and progressive sanctification, being sanctified. Declarative sanctification is God saying and seeing us as holy, righteous, and good. But if we look at our children, if we look at ourselves, we know and we can tell that we're not there yet. So there is also progressive sanctification, and it's that which Paul is talking about here. The process of becoming more like Jesus Christ, of being renewed, as Zara said, of the Holy Spirit working within us, helping us to fight sin, helping us to show love, making us more mature in Jesus Christ. And with God at work, the Holy Spirit at work, it will be a complete job. As Paul says there, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Now, boys and girls, sometimes you're asked to clean your room. And if you're kind of sneaky, what you can do is you can hide some of the stuff under your bed, push it behind the boxes. You can shove things behind the blankets. If you have blankets on the top, shove some clothes behind there. You can shove some dirty laundry down under the shoes. But what happens when Mum comes to check it out? She actually looks at all those spots, doesn't she? And what happens is that she pulls it all out and you end up having to spring clean your whole room and do a proper job. That's the kind of job that God does straight up. A complete job. No half job. bringing us to the point where we are perfect at the end of time, at the end of our lives. The goal at the end is what is in sight. The goal is what Paul holds out. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the goal at the end. That's where we're heading to. When we will be perfect. When we no longer have sin. When the job in us will be finished. No more redos. No more resubmits. Simply God's work being complete. And that will be all of our being. That's the picture that Paul is giving here. It says there, may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some theologians like to argue and say, well, is Paul speaking here about three parts to the human being? Spirit, soul, and body. Scripture teaches us elsewhere that soul and spirit are words that are used interchangeably. And the Bible speaks about soul and body, or body and spirit. But Paul's point here isn't making a theological point. No, his point here is to show that all of us, every single part of our being will be made new. Every single part of us will be transformed. Nothing will be left behind. This is God's work in us. Does that mean we're off the hook? That we can put up our feet and let God work? No, Paul has made it clear in the rest of Thessalonians that we are to work. But God works in us and helps us so much that he deserves all the credit. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them there, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. It speaks of our salvation. We know this passage well, but it also speaks about the good works we do as well. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Do you notice that? Or even the good works that we do, even the good deeds that we do, God has prepared those for us to do beforehand. And that's encouragement to us. As we continue to fight our battles against sin, as we fight the things that entangle us, drag us down, as we fight our enemies, as the Catechism tells us, the devil, the world, and our own flesh. God's got it. God's at work. God completes his work, and he never, ever gives up on us. But Paul continues with further encouragement, and that brings us to our second point this afternoon. Our second point is Paul's promise for God's work. A couple of months ago, Hanukkah and I had to go mattress shopping. Our mattress had seen better days, and we were looking for various options. We came across an option on the internet with a mattress that gave you 120 days. You could sleep on this mattress for 120 days. In fact, they insisted that you sleep on this mattress for 120 days. And if you didn't like it, you could return it back, no questions asked. That was the guarantee. Not a bad guarantee. We didn't end up going with them. Through God's providence, we actually were given a mattress. But God never gives money back guarantees. Because he doesn't have to. If God says he's going to do the job, it's always done. And Paul shows us this in several ways here in our passage, with the encouragement that he gives the Thessalonians and us. He encourages the Thessalonians that Jesus is returning. That was a worry for the Thessalonians. When is the Lord going to return? What's going to happen? And he says, yes, the Lord is returning. And the whole goal of working in your life and God making you more like Jesus Christ is that you will be presented before the judge blameless when our Lord returns, so that you will have nothing to worry when you meet Jesus Christ. Then you'll have an end to suffering. Then sanctification will no longer be happening in your life because you will be made perfect.
And when Christ returns, we will share in his victory. The victory over sin. The victory over God's enemies, our enemies. And we can live in that sure hope, brothers and sisters. We can live in the hope that there's more to this world, that we have an eternity to look forward to. An eternity when we will be in perfect fellowship with our Heavenly Father. We will be in perfect fellowship with each other. Just imagine that. No more offending people. No more being offended. No more stomping on someone's feet with your clumsy toes and having your long toes trampled on. No more having to take your foot out of your mouth. Because we'll be living together in perfect harmony, in perfect fellowship. Paul continues in verse 24. He says there, "He who calls you is faithful." There's an encouragement there as well. God who calls you. A reassurance there of unconditional election. It's God's work that calls us, that brings us to him. We who were chosen by God before the beginning of time, we are his. And without him, we're incapable of coming to him. But because of him, we can. Because of Christ's work on the cross, because of the Holy Spirit's work in us, we can answer that call that comes to us. And he who calls us is faithful. God is a God who keeps his word, keeps his promises. No ifs, buts, or maybes. God always keeps his word. Every single promise, every single one. In Jesus Christ, everything is yes. Everything is amen. And God who works in us, our passage tells us, will surely do it. No half-hearted, half-finished projects in God's kingdom. No more to-do lists being written at the end of the next day or at the end of time, because every single job, every single person on God's list will have a tick next to their name. Job done, job completed. So how does this help us? Well, it helps us in several ways. It helps us to work harder. Now, we don't like to say that sometimes, do we? Work harder. Not to earn our salvation, but to work harder in thankfulness. As the Holy Spirit works in us, makes us more Christ-like, we'll be encouraged more to work for him, to live for him, to serve him. It's an encouragement when things are tough, when we face struggles in life. No matter what we face, no matter what's happening to us, God is still at work. We don't have to fight on our own. We don't have to walk the tightrope of sin, of suffering, of grief on our own. Because God is there with us, holding us, stopping us from falling, picking us up when we do stumble. It helps us as we fight sin because we can know the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. The Holy Spirit is on our side, helping us to hate sin more, to love Jesus Christ more. And it helps us because we can know that our eternal future is secure. That we don't have to fight forever. That a day is coming when our battle will be over. When we no longer have to fight. No longer have to struggle because God has got us there. God has brought us through. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And then one day, I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Just because he lives. Amen. Please pray with me. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not the God of unfinished jobs. That you are the God who has begun a work in us, is continual work in us, and will complete that work. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you that you are the God of peace, the God who has made us right with you. We pray and rest and lean on your work of sanctification for us and in us. Lord, may that encourage us and inspire us to work for you, to live lives of thankfulness. May we feel, Lord, the progress that is happening within us as your Holy Spirit works in us. May we be encouraged as we look back and see the ways that you have made us grow and made us more and more like our Savior. When things are tough, Heavenly Father, help us to hold on to the wonderful promise that we've heard in your word this afternoon, that the God of peace is at work within us, that we don't fight sin, we don't fight our struggles on our own, but you are holding us, carrying us through. Help us to fight sin, to hate sin more and more, and to love you even more. Help us to do so knowing that our future is secure, that you are faithful, that you will do it. We praise you, we thank you, we lean on you, knowing you hold us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing now the words of number 201. 201, come thou fount of every blessing. How we lean here on God and his work in us. And we sing in the final stanza, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Speaking of that battle against sin, here's my heart, O take and seal it, for thy courts above. Let's stand and sing these words together.